And praise God, I bring you greetings. This is Eve's Corner, and I am Prophetess Amina Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us on today. I know that in some areas it's raining like crazy outside, and it may be a little bit gray and dark where you are, but I will tell you for sure that the sun, the S-O-N, is still shining. So I just thank God for your listening in. Thank God for your being with us. And I find it an honor and a privilege for you to join me on today. Eve's Corner is a show of empowerment, enlightenment, engagement, and our objective is to be a blessing to God's people. So I hope and I pray that for everyone who's listening today, that you'll find some comfort in the Word of God. Now, I want you to know that I do want to hear from you on today. So if you want to call in to chat with us, offer your opinion, or just give a brief testimony, you can call in to 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. Our topic for today is single and set apart. Now, I know that there are some single people who are listening, but I know that there are also some people who may have rather never been married, or whether you're divorced or widowed, whatever your situation is that causes you to be single on today, hopefully this topic will be a blessing unto you. And for those who have found your Prince Charming, or found that woman of God, your good thing, you know, as the scripture says, maybe you guys can call in to offer a bit of advice for those of us who are still waiting on the Lord. Our guest today is Esther Hunter. Esther, are you with us?
I am. I'm excited about being with you again here on the East Corner. How are you?
Amen. Amen. I am wonderful. I am wonderful. Absolutely, positively blessed and favored by God. I have no complaints whatsoever. How's it going out there with you?
It is going wonderful. Nice and 73 degrees, 73 sunny right here in sunny Southern California.
Yes, yes.
I have no complaints.
Well, that sounds good. You know, I don't either. I'll take the rain. I get to be in on today. So I'm off of work. So that's a good thing. So I'll take the rain and stay in the house and keep my mind focused and meditate and do the things I need to do. So I'm thankful as well. So what do you think about our topic on today? Our topic being single and set apart.
I think it's an excellent topic, and it is definitely something that's relevant to what so many of us, especially as believers, are dealing with. I know a huge portion of the Christian community is married, but if we look at statistics throughout our world and even nationwide here in the United States, there's a large part of our population that is still single. Mm-hmm. And amongst the single are many Christian believers who are single, still waiting on meeting the person that they believe they should spend the rest of their life with. So I think it's a great topic.
Yes. Yes, I think so too. I think it's something that relates to most people. Like I said, whether it's somebody who's, you know, already found that person, maybe they can offer some advice, or, you know, if it's somebody who's still waiting, because sometimes, you know, it can become discouraging. So we're going to definitely start with the word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for our listeners on today. We pray, God, that this word falls on good ground. Let it be of encouragement to their hearts today, oh God. Give us what to say and how to say it. God, bless every listener, bless every caller. Lift up, bow down heads. God, we come against the spirit of depression and that spirit of loneliness right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you now, God, for blessing us and keeping us, God, for encouraging our hearts, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, our scripture for today is going to be based on Genesis, the second chapter, starting at the 18th verse. Now, you can read all the way through it. However, the 18th verse is, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Now, looking at this scripture, one of my favorite parts, just the beginning, is that God said, Esther, that it is not good for the man to be alone.
Right. Yes,
and I appreciate that scripture, because that means that God understands our needs, not just in relationship with him, but our need to be in relationship with others. What do you think about that?
I think it's excellent because God, as our creator, knows what's best for us. Mm-hmm. I once heard Dr. Miles Monroe say that if you want to know the purpose of a thing, you have to ask the originator or the creator of the thing. And
oh,
so
yes.
With the fact that it says the Lord God said, then mm-hmm. we need to pay special attention actually to what it is that he said. Because mm-hmm. he created us, he knows what's best for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the next portion says that it's not good or desirable, or it's just not the best thing for the man to be alone. Because as I stated, you know, we do have some needs. And the love that God has given us is not just the agape love that we have one for another, brotherly love, the filial love. But we also have, you know, an eros love that he gave to us to be able to share with us and others. And that is one that meeting our desires. So, you know, I thank God for that. The word single means only one, not one of several. So, you know, of course, when I looked up this definition, Esther, I was like, good Lord, it's already against us. Because it said only one, just one, mm-hmm. you know, and the word only sometimes, you know, can deplete or take away from, you know, but the great thing about being single is that we have more time to focus on God. We have the time, the energy to focus on the things of God, the kingdom of God, being able to be available to our local church, maybe a little bit more often when it's just you and you don't necessarily have a spouse to have to cater to at that point in time. So, you know, mm-hmm. as I stated, one of the things that I know we deal with in being single or our singleness is sometimes other people or your emotions or even the enemy can cause you to feel lonely or feel unloved or feel like no one cares about us, or cause that spirit of depression to come upon us, to feel like we're rejected by others, or to feel like we're just out there alone, just withering away in the
right.
wind. You know, like, oh, Lord, what was me? No one is thinking about me. Mm-hmm. Can you share with
you
us
know,
on that?
Yes. And I, you know, if I could elaborate a little bit on the word single, because I did, mm-hmm. I dealt in large part with this subject in my latest book. Mm-hmm. And what I found in searching out the word single, it does mean only one, but mm-hmm. it also means distinguished.
Yes.
And it does mean to be set apart. Mm-hmm. And so I think that in the fact that God, because he is who he is the creator of all things, and he is the creator of mankind, mm-hmm. he intentionally created man as one
yes.
unit. He could have from the beginning created, formed both the man and the woman's body in mm-hmm. the same instant, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think he did that intentionally so that there would be an in the nature of man an ability to understand how distinguished we are from
mm-hmm.
everything else in creation.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at that from the perspective of being a single person who's believing for a spouse, a mate,
mm-hmm.
that we have to focus on not just the negative aspects of being alone,
mm-hmm.
physically alone, but we have to look on the positive side of being distinguished in that
mm-hmm.
God wants us to have a sense of support and a sense of completeness or wholeness is a better
mm-hmm.
word within
yes.
ourselves before he connects us to another person.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So that place of singleness is actually a time period that God gives us to just be with him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the great thing that you said about us being distinguished is that the Bible lets us know that Adam was alone because he was special. God
yes.
had to prepare someone just for him, and God had to prepare
mm-hmm.
him for that person. So in
right.
his being distinguished and or special, there's a preparation that goes in process for him and for her.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
not only is that a period of us spending time with God, but God was providing for Adam, and then Adam in turn will be able to provide for her, you know, during his focus on God.
Yes.
And that is what he did. Go ahead.
He was giving him an opportunity also to see the purpose for which he was created. Because
that's
when
right.
he created man and he put man in the garden, he gave him his life assignment first
mm-hmm.
before he brought the woman to him.
That's right.
And so I think that plays in on the other part of the text, which it says, I will make him and help
yes.
meet for
mm-hmm.
him. So if you need help, that means you're busy doing something. And so God wanted him to have that time to adjust to what he put him in the earth to do. He says, I will make him and help meet for him. And so that word meet actually means suitable, adapted, and complementary. And so I think a lot of times as singles, we need to understand that God wants us to have a sense of purpose and intent about our lives. And then he brings the person into our lives that is supposed to help us meet that assignment that he gave.
Absolutely, and that purpose that God has already ordained for our lives. Because, you know, the one thing that I think that we forget about when we start acting out in fear, and I'll touch a little bit more on that in a moment, but when we start acting out in fear, what happens is we start not just to compromise, but we forget what our purpose is. And so if we see somebody, you know, as we say, that's cute, and it seems or appears, well, you know, they rejected me, or they don't want me, or they're not acting this way or that way. Or for some of the sisters that, you know, maybe with a man for a length of time and this man has not proposed, you have to stop and ask yourself, you know, first of all, are we walking in the same direction? How can two walk together except they agree? So if this is not somebody who is going to help me to get to my destiny, or I'm helping him and we have similar vision and purpose in life, then the likelihood is you may just be wasting your time. You may be spending time hoping and waiting for somebody that was cute, so to speak. And it's not even a person that God has ordained for your life to even be in your life. You know, people come into our lives for a season or a reason, you know, so we don't want to be holding on to somebody that God meant for us to just be just passing by. Because of our need to be able to give and receive love from other people. You know, sometimes we do that. And it's because of fear sometimes. And that fear basically comes from these preconceived ideas and notions that we've gained from just the world in itself, from other folks telling us, girl, you 30 and you don't have a man yet. Ooh, you push it on 40. You know, you need to go ahead and get married, you know, based on the world's ideas of what we should be doing and the direction that we should be going in. But the opposite of that faith, that fear is faith. So if we're believing God and we're standing in faith and we're trusting God, you know, faith in itself is the substance of the thing that we're hoping for. It's the evidence of the things that we don't already see. But in our trust in God, again, you know, fear will come about and make you feel rejected. Fear will come about and be like, oh, it's never going to happen for you. It's happened for everybody else, but, you know, it may not happen for you. And that's just a lie from the enemy.
And it's something when you mentioned the preconceived ideas, because I think that those ideas are usually based upon what we know about the experiences of other people. And it is a mental trap, I believe, that confines us to previous experiences, whether those experiences were our own or those that we know about from other people. So these preconceived ideas about our lives and what has to happen within a certain time frame, especially as it relates to women, because we tend to, in our culture, have certain expectations that are placed upon us different than those of men. Men have expectations placed upon them largely about their careers and things like that. Women have expectations placed upon them about their family life and circumstances. And so, not that we don't both deal with both things, but there's a lot of pressure on women to perform certain things by a certain age. And so those ideas, those preconceived ideas, are really mental traps that keep you in a place of trying to accomplish something within a concept that may not be the reality that God wants you to experience.
Absolutely. And that is definitely true. When you start talking about these mental traps, you know, then what happens is we become vulnerable. You know, we become vulnerable to quote-unquote Slick Willie walking down the street and you know, coming at us with the appropriate line, you know, or saying something that we want to hear, or giving us a compliment, you know, something that we wish we had, or, you know, we find ourselves watching television shows and movies and things that depress us because, you know, there's this happy ending and you don't have, you know, you're happily ever after just yet in your white picket fence, you know, but all of this is based on the world's concepts and ideologies of where we should be based on a certain time frame in our lives.
And don't you think that brings about that sense of, like you said, compromise? You
know,
you're trying to hurry up and do something, but the motive and the purpose for it for making certain decisions that often people live to regret is because he's compromising the situation, trying to accomplish something within a time frame or based upon what society says or what other people have said, or even some insecurities within ourselves. And instead of using that time, you know, I'm reminded of a scripture that says that the single woman is concerned about how she can please the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:34. He says that her aim, the NIV says, her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit.
Right.
But the situations that come in life to try to pressure us into relationships that may not be healthy relationships, if we yield to that pressure, can cause us to now get off track, like you said, and compromise and end up with someone or in a situation that really wasn't God's best for us.
Absolutely.
And so being focused on what the why behind what we're doing is very key, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's an everyday thing. You know, I find that, you know, when I readjust my focus on a daily basis, you know, not just every now and then, but when I readjust my focus on a daily basis and make sure that I know, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing today. This is where my mind needs to be. We spend time meditating and let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ. You know, we have to get our minds right because of all those other things that do come at us, as you said, that, you know, cause us to want to compromise. And it is unfortunate that sometimes, you know, even in the church, we deal with believers and then there are some deceivers, you know, that will come along and come at you. And I've experienced it myself, you know, when they come along and say, oh, the Lord said you're going to be my wife, you know, and I ain't heard none of that. Not only have I not heard it, I'm not interested. We're not walking in the same direction. And usually they have another motive, you know, and it's unfortunate. But like I said, even in the church, you know, we find those who are victimizing people or come at you with a half of a scripture and want to tell you what God said. You haven't heard the same thing. What they're saying is a total and complete conflict to the word of God. And there we are. Now, you know, you got, I want to be loved on one hand, and on the other hand, it's like, but I know what he's saying is not the truth, you know. And for some of the brothers, too, you know, this is not just about women, but, you know, for some of the brothers, too, I know that there are some women that offer them a home-cooked meal, you know, and walk out with a different motive, you know. And this brother like, Lord, I just went to get something to eat.
So clearly
there are, you know, those that prey on the people of God who are trying to live right and trying to do the right thing. But we have to be sharp. We have to be swift. We have to be on that word. We have to be prayed up, Esther.
And I do believe that, you know, you said believers versus deceivers. I do believe that, especially in church, in Christianity, because with social media and with everything that's available, all of the different online dating sites, people are connecting with people all across the world from different places and believing that they're getting the real truth when they're dealing with individuals online. And it's already difficult enough when you're talking to someone that you've known for years and years, or that you grew up with, or that you've been around. But to add the element of distance and the element of not really even knowing that person personally, but just taking some things that they've gotten just from questionnaires or just by what they've learned from other friends, you, like you said, you use the word vulnerable. We become vulnerable if that's all we're going to rely on, especially when we're talking about a life-changing decision like who to marry.
Oh, yes.
Because apart from your relationship with Jesus Christ, the person that you marry is the person you're supposed to be covenanted to be with for the rest of your life. So that person's actions, what they think, their perceptions, how they live behind the scenes is going to have a great impact on you and your future. We're talking about purpose in Genesis and what God gave us there. And so that the deception that I think is by and large because of dishonesty that has become acceptable. And part of that dishonesty is because many believers have adopted secular concepts of how relationships should be formed.
Oh, yes.
They don't even consider Romans 12:2. He says, don't be fashioned after and adapted to external superficial customs. In other words, when you come out of the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of God, dear son, then you operate in a different system. You operate by different standards and different principles. And mm-hmm. a lot of believers, when they get born again, they don't make that adjustment in their being transformed, he says, by the renewing of our minds.
Absolutely.
So we continue to live our lives based solely upon what's out there in the secular world and how they go about choosing a spouse or mm-hmm. choosing someone to be in a relationship. We're going to be all mixed up, even as believers, and that's where the deception comes in.
Absolutely. And the funny thing about that, you know, is I was talking in part about this message to a minister on yesterday, and he specifically said, you know, we as Christians just have to learn to develop the spirit of no. Just say no.
Well,
you know, we don't need to compromise and be like, well, maybe, you know, because what happens is as we begin to lower our standards, you know, mm-hmm. and we begin to tell ourselves then, oh, well, you know, he's not drunk all the time, just on Friday through Monday. I mean, you know, and you know that is not what God is saying for you.
Come on.
You know that's not what God is saying for you. Or, you know, or the brother's like, well, I know her skirts are a little short and her cleavage is a little bit low, but I believe that's the one because that sister is fine. I mean, come on now. We have to be real with ourselves. We have to be real with ourselves and be honest with ourselves.
Yes, and even having accepted and requiring that standard of other believers, you know, mm-hmm. and if someone doesn't conform to that those ideas, then they get called old school, they get called old-fashioned, they get called out of touch the culture. But if you notice throughout the scriptures, never once do we see him telling us to adjust to the culture.
Absolutely.
We are salt and light in the earth.
Yes, that's right. He didn't tell us to adjust. He told us to be the examples. Like you said, we're the salt. We're the light. We're the light that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. So if you see me coming, you better know, don't come with game.
Someone might be listening and saying, you know what, they old school. See, that's why men these days in church, they want you to look a certain way, or women these days, they want you to act a certain way. But are you conforming to what they say, or do you want what God knows is best for your life?
Absolutely.
Because if you conform, then what happens is if you start out compromising, it's going to be more compromise and more compromise as time goes on.
That's right.
I heard someone say this recently. They said, whatever you have to go outside of the will of God to get, you have to stay outside the will of God to keep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It doesn't suddenly become God's will just because you did it or just because you said it.
That's right. Or just because you feel like that at the moment.
Right. So if it was outside of the parameters of what God said for your life in the first place, and you had to go outside those parameters to get it, then what happens is you can't make God's will change based upon what the culture says. Because right now, our culture is very confused about even identity and sexual orientation. So we're going to adjust every time the world makes an adjustment, then we're going to be just as confused as the culture.
That's right. And this is not a ministry of convenience. This is not about convenience. This is not, you know, who we can make happy. But it's about doing what thus says the Lord. It's about living this life of holiness, and being set apart. Because as we said, you know, in our topic title, single and set apart, you're not just single, you're not just alone, but you are set apart for a purpose and a time such as this. I do see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, I think we have Terrence on the line. Go ahead, please.
Hello, women of God.
Hello, man of God. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in total agreement with what you all are speaking of. In the scripture that you're talking about, that you just read, actually you see God says, it is not good for a man to be alone.
Yes.
But it seems like in human nature, we would think that if God tell us that, then he would solve the problem in the next verse.
That's how we want it right away.
But he didn't solve the problem in the next verse, but instead he let Adam start naming the animals.
That's right.
And so we ask ourselves, why does Adam go into naming the animals? Mm-hmm. Because God wanted to trust Adam with what he gave him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see if Adam was going to name a cow his wife. or a horse's wife.
Mm-hmm.
See, the problem is, we get these boys and we name them my husband.
Mm.
Or we get these side chicks and we name them my wife.
Mm.
But that's what God has entrusted us in and what God has given to us. Instead, mm-hmm. God wants us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven.
Absolutely.
But instead, we want to microwave God first and then design our own kingdom of heaven and choose what we want to. And then we go from there. And then when it don't work, we say, God, what you putting me in?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Then we turn around and we have a totally different concept about marriage, you know, because we made mistakes because of some of the things that we did. So I really do appreciate you calling in to comment in regard to the topic today, because I do know that you, Terrence, were recently married. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, I was recently married.
I do know that you found your good thing. You found your rib. So, amen.
I did. But I have to come to say that this is my second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I seek myself first. Mm. But I seek God this time.
All right. All right. You know what? That's what happens a lot of times. You know, we try to do it on our own in the beginning, but you find out whether it's the hard way or the easy way, that God's way is the best way in every aspect of our lives. So we definitely do appreciate your calling in to share with us. Stay on the line for just a moment. I have another caller. We have Kathy. Kathy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, this is Kathy Glenn. I'm doing well, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Did you call in with a comment for us on today?
Just a comment, yes, a quick comment. I'm older and married, but I want to commend you guys for keeping those old values, biblical values, alive in this talk program.
Amen.
Many young women, I hope, are listening. Mm-hmm. And can gain what you guys have discussed today. Gain from what you guys have discussed today. Keep up the good work.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. You know, and as Esther said, you know, sometimes people think that you're old school, and sometimes, you know, people think that you're old and fogey, or, you know, you are just not quite up to date, you know, on the things that are going on. But, you know, God doesn't change, and His word
does not
change. So, you know,
I appreciate
the opportunity to even be able to reflect back on the word and know what to do in every situation of my life. I appreciate even in marriage, because, you know, sometimes we do make mistakes, and you know, sometimes we may choose on our own, and, you know, mm-hmm. then go back and ask God to bless this mess. But what normally happens is you figure it out somewhere along the way, like I said, whether it's the hard way or the easy way. But I appreciate you calling in, especially being married and understanding, you know, the perspective, because you do have a mate. You know, is there some advice that you can give to those of us who are seeking God for a mate?
Keep seeking God for the mate.
Mm-hmm.
Keep seeking God. That's the best way. Yes.
Amen. You know, and then the blessing too is in when you have a God-fearing mate or a man or woman of God, it makes a lot of things easier. And then that's not to say that the enemy won't try to get after you or your marriage or your
that's
children
right.
or your household
mm-hmm.
at all, because things happen in mm-hmm. all relationships. But the blessing is that the two of you know how to come back together and agree on the word of God. When it's a God-fearing person,
absolutely.
You know you're not in this battle by yourself. So mm-hmm. I definitely appreciate your calling in today, Kathy.
You're good. You guys keep up the good work, okay?
Amen. Will do. Thank you so much for calling.
Heidi.
All right. Now we do have another caller on the line, Elder Jennings. Elder Jennings, are you there?
I'm here. How are y'all today?
Amen. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Great conversation. I was thinking about, you know, the word of God, even with myself, I'm an elder in the Church of God in Christ, and I'm a
Hello? Okay, looks like we lost that caller. Esther, are you still there?
I am. I'm still
Amen.
Here.
Amen. So what do you think about the comments by Terrence, especially where he said that, you know, he didn't do it right the first time? You know, what do you suggest for the people of God who may be on that second round, as I am, and waiting to hear God for their mate, especially once you've been in a marriage and then come out? That's something I know that some of us struggle with.
You know, I think it's excellent that he brought up the point and that he said it, because one of the truest signs of maturity is being able to admit that you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so many people, especially if they've been married a long time, mm-hmm. don't want to admit that perhaps they missed God the first time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Everybody wants to assume that it was God's will the first time, but mm-hmm. that's not necessarily so. And so oftentimes, I'm not saying in every case, but oftentimes we endure a season of mm-hmm. difficulty in relationship. Not saying that relationship, anytime you take two and make them and they become one, that's a process of growing
yes.
together.
Absolutely.
But there are instances when he specifically said that he didn't seek God the first time. This time he did.
Right.
Well, then if you don't seek God, then God's not going to give you his answer if you're not seeking him. And,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing that how many people won't admit that. So that's the first step in the healing process after a broken relationship, is understanding, how did I even get in the situation in the first place? Was it even
Absolutely.
God's will in the first place?
Absolutely.
And so then moving on from there, knowing that you're in this season, this waiting process of meeting someone or meeting someone that you believe would be compatible, because remember, he gave her somebody that was adaptable to him. That mm-hmm. word helped meet means mm-hmm. suitable. That
yes.
means, you know, male and female, suitable, but not just suitable in relation to gender. We're talking about suitable in relation to how they view God, their perceptions of God, their perceptions mm-hmm. of marriage. Are they biblically based, suitable,
That's right.
adapted, and complementary? And
That's
so
right.
it takes time to find out those things about a person.
Absolutely.
That's not something that you discover overnight. This person is suitable, adapted, adjustable, or complementary to me. Now, when God brought Eve to Adam, this is the first introduction of the covenant of marriage, and there
mm-hmm.
were no other people involved.
Mm-hmm.
But we've come a long way since then. And so because there's so many other people involved in our lives, then we have to be patient and wait for God to show us the compatibility or the suitability of a person in our lives, the adaptability of a person. A woman should be looking to see, is this a man I can adapt to?
That's right.
Is this
That's
someone
right.
that I feel I will be complimentary to, and in what way? Ask ourselves
right.
specific questions, and then ask questions about that man, because if you're going to be adjusting and making all of those types of adjustments in your life, is he someone who's under the authority of God, your Father?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
About, you know, having made a mistake, and now he asked God, and now he has the person that he believes is the best person for his life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And touching on that, you mentioned the healing process, and admittance being one of the first things, you know, to give us a segue over into healing. Because when you have, whether, you know, your divorce was because of you or because of the other person, you know, some of us, it happened because of the other person, but it still requires a healing process.
Right.
Because, you know, like I said, two have to agree to be able to walk together. And sometimes things don't go well. Terrence, was admittance the thing for you that led you into that healing process to be able to move on? Because some of us get stuck. Some of us, you know, get to a place where it's just like, oh, man, woe is me. And here I am. And this is all there is. And this is all there's going to be. Terrence, can you speak to that for us? Sounds like we lost Terrence. Well, I will speak to that.
Terrence, can you hear us?
As a part of the healing process, one thing's for sure is being honest with yourself, Esther, and I think that you mentioned that earlier also. It does not always require being honest with other people. You know, you don't have to tell everybody your business, so to speak, you know, because mm-hmm. some of us come from that old school of, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this mm-hmm. house. But being able to admit to yourself and admit to God and then repent of, mm-hmm. you know, whatever those things are, that got in your way. You know, sometimes we just don't know, you know, some of us, you know, it's just like, okay, Lord, what do I do? Or what happened? What went wrong? You know, I may have been kind of blindsided, but, there is a, in the meantime, there is yeah. a, in the meantime. And there are some things that we need to do in the meantime while we're waiting on God. One of the things, and there are several biblical approaches, you know, I will say, to waiting, or to that meantime process. Now, as you mentioned, in 1 Corinthians 7, you know, a single woman is supposed to focus on the things of God. But, you know, there's also the Sarah approach where she decided she was going to fix it herself. She decided, okay, I'm waiting on God for something. We're believing God for a child, but I'm going to go in and do this my way. And what normally comes out of that is chaos. You know, when we try to go in and rush God or don't believe God. Now, first and foremost, when God told them that he was going to bless them, she laughed. She found it funny because she was looking at her natural situation. She was looking at, okay, I'm looking at my age. I'm looking at this, that, the circumstances, all of that. But because she was not able to bear a child, but because God is faithful and he's faithful to his word. If God told you something, there is no reason for you to go back and try to fix it on your own. There is no reason for you to try to go back and grab Slick Willie and put him in a suit and comb his hair back and be like, all right, now this is the one. He looks the part, you know, when truthfully, as you stated, Esther, this is not the person who God has ordained to be your soulmate, your spouse, the person who mm-hmm. is going to walk with you into your destiny.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of schools of thought out there about that. I've heard different people say that, you know, there's not just one person that, you know, you're compatible with, and that may be true, mm-hmm. but I do believe that God in his all-knowingness, his wisdom, his omniscience, his insight into each one of us intimately and personally, he knows what is best for us, and that's why, as believers, we have to use the compass of the Holy Spirit as our
Absolutely.
Guide when we're choosing in relationships. You know, we're talking about the healing process and in the aftermath of broken relationships. One of the things that sticks out to me is Psalms 23, in verse mm-hmm. 3, he says, he restores my soul. And
yes.
so that knitting together of two people involves the intertwining of your mind, will, and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why divorce hurts. That's why separation hurts. That's why when a relationship is broken, there's a tearing. And mm-hmm. only God, it says, he restores my soul. Amplified, the Classic Amplified says, he refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He restores
yes.
my life. One version says, he restores myself. And so mm-hmm. I think it's very important that if we're going to really heal and be ready for a new relationship, then we have to give ourselves time alone with the one who restores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is some restoration that comes through relationships, but there are certain things that when you go through a difficult situation like that, like a divorce, like a separation from the person that you've been with, only God can heal that part of your soul where there's no real black and white answers as to the why behind what you experience.
Yeah, because some of us do seek out the why. Lord, why did this happen to me? Lord,
right.
I did everything I was supposed to.
And that's a trap sometimes because
yes,
sometimes
is.
There is no logical reason why
right.
people make the decisions that they make
that's
that
right.
affect your life. And
that's
so
right.
within that time, I believe God gives us time in between to heal so that we're prepared enough to connect with someone else. And it doesn't mean that you don't have any other areas in your life that need restoration. It just means that in the part that makes you able to be suitable, adapted, and complementary, you need God to come in and heal that so that when he brings someone into your life, then we're not dealing with skepticism. We're not dealing with, you know, mm-hmm. that person isn't being punished for something somebody else did, or, you know. You not being punished and don't understand why they're treating you that way when
right.
all you've done is show them that they can trust you and they have all of this distrust for you. It's because there's a healing process that takes place. And I shared this with someone recently. Everybody's different. Everybody's body, even in the natural, is different. If you cut your finger, it may take you longer to heal than it takes me. It may take me longer to heal than it takes you. So each person is different. It's how we process pain and how we process our experiences a lot of times that determines how long it is before that part of us is healed.
That's right. You know, I have to say, I do thank God for being a restorer. And as you mentioned in scripture, he restores my soul. I thank God because that scripture is not a past tense and it does not say he will restore, but it is current. It is everyday present tense. He restores my soul over and over and over again, because sometimes we do become wounded. But I thank God for just being a healer, for being a deliverer, because that's a pain that usually somebody else can't even understand unless you've been in that position. It's usually a conversation that you can't even have with another person unless they can relate, or unless they are a spiritual person, you know, and they're able to discern and understand from that perspective. But just, you know, trying to talk to, you know, girlfriends or guy friends, you know, sometimes, you know, they give poor advice, you know, because they've been hurt by somebody too, you know, so then they tell you, oh no, just move on to the next person, you know, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can't just move on to somebody else, as you stated, because what happens is then they start treating you a certain way, or you start treating them a certain way, and you don't even understand why. But the reason is because you have not completely healed yet. You haven't healed from what you've already gone through.
Right.
I look at Ruth as another example of someone who was waiting on God, and Ruth had lost her husband, you know, for any of our listeners who may be widows, you know, and if it is your desire to be remarried again, God is able. One thing about Ruth is that, you know, the Lord told her she had to be in a certain time. She had certain instructions, you know, certain time, the right place, the right time, doing the right thing. And that's the other thing that we get caught up in. Sometimes we're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and there is Slick Willie or there's Loose Lucy, you know, or whoever it is that they may run up on us, because, we're trying to wait on God, and we're looking for just a glimpse or some type of a sign to say, okay, Lord, is that the one? All right, Lord, you know, because we've become anxious, because, you know, we don't like to wait. You know, I believe Terrence mentioned that microwave society, and we talked about it on another show about how we want things right away. But God has a reason and a season for everything that we are dealing with. So it looks like our caller is back on the line. Elder Jennings, are you there?
I am here. Yeah.
Okay. You were going to have a comment?
I just going to comment on a very interesting conversation. I was just sitting there listening, you know, to. And because, you know, a lot of times, just like me, I'm single, you know, and I'm in the church. And it's so, and it could, we are vulnerable. The man is as vulnerable as the woman, you know, because it's a lot that I'm up against. I do the jail ministry, and that ministry is a It's a tough ministry. It's a lot. I do mostly men's. You know, I don't. Yeah, the females is there, but they have other women's comes in to minister to the female part. And those guys have a lot of questions. They're good guys, you know. And a lot of them ask me this question. He said, "Man, I could make a good husband." You know. And I believe that God gonna send me a wife. Now these are the guys in there, you know. And do you believe, brother Ken? You know that a woman would accept me as I am? I said, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The Bible says old things will pass away, all things will come new. You know, if you are saved and you know, you have changed your life, you know, God will have that godly, virtuous woman out there for you. You know, you see. But a lot of times, the sisters, some of the sisters, even in the church and outside, you know, the bride, when I be out, you know, someone said, well, I want a special type of man. I don't want a man that been behind bars. I want this and I want that. I said, you can't give God an order with a meal on it like you do at a restaurant. You see, God is a spirit. You know, you see, the spirit knows, he searches the heart for the man, you know, he don't look what's on the front. The guy could be in a grease suit, but that could be the best husband that you can ever have, or the best wife that a man could ever have, you know. But we got to look past the front and go within, you know, and first we got to have patience. Patience is so important. I agree with Prophet Campbell. You got to have patience. You got to have patience, because patience is a virtue. You know, you see, God's required that. That's one of the fruit on the trees, that right there. It's an important fruit. You know, and that one that too many of us don't like, long suffering, that one right there. We're going to have to suffer for a little while. You know, yes, there's a lot of things we run into out there. There's a lot of deceptions out there. There's a lot of everything. You know, God know I have my fold of them also, you know, and I know what God had put in me for this ministry that he had put in me when I was inside a prison. He had put in that he had saved me, sanctified me, and he put me on a course. And he told me to stay in my lane, no matter what, stay in the lane. And I'm going to speak to you right where I put you. And God been doing that, you know. So I applaud people's, you know, their sisters and brothers that's you know, that are single, you know, and they desire someone, you know, that's saved and that's sanctified, you know, and on course. But let God fill the order. Let him prepare the table. Like that sister was saying over there in Psalm 23, the table's already prepared, you know. Only thing we have to do is sit down, you know, and God will do the rest of it.
That is true. Well, we definitely do thank you for your comment, Elder Jennings. One of the points that he made, you know, is about, you know, people having a past, because, you know, it is true. You know, we've all sinned and fallen short. And if that's the person, you know, that God has ordained for you or said that you should be with, you know, then certainly, you know, God will show you that. Now, I know that the general public is not going to run out to a prison to find a husband or a wife for that matter. But I'm thankful that, you know, everybody has an opportunity to repent and to turn from their past or to turn from whatever reason they were in prison in the first place. If you truly have changed your life and you truly have given your life to God, I do want to give some other pointers in regard to, you know, our how we wait or the waiting process, some of the things that we've talked about, and we've kind of touched on them already. But one of the things that we said, Esther, is don't set yourself up for failure. You know, don't put yourself in a position or a compromising position to where, you know, you may be tempted to sin or to do some things that you know that you shouldn't be doing while you're waiting on God. And sometimes that means you have to avoid some people. That means you may have to avoid some places and you may have to avoid a lot of things. One of the things that I don't like to do is I don't like to watch certain TV shows. And, you know, some things just may be depressing and I just can't do it because I don't want to sit through certain types of movies and all of that when I know that, you know, by the time this movie is over or this TV show is over, my mind is going to be wandering. But I have to remember, you know, at all times to put on the mind of Christ, you know, because there are temptations out there, as Ken has mentioned, for women and for men. But we want to make sure that we don't set ourselves up for failure.
Right. You know, I think that's an interesting point, Prophet Campbell, and it's one of the things that I minister on quite a bit is guarding your gate, your eye gate, your ear gate.
Yes.
What you see and what you hear, because those things have a way of going directly to your soul, and that's where strongholds are formed. And so when we're talking about not putting ourselves in situations that lead us into sin or that lead us into discouragement or whatever it is, then we have to be stewards over our eyes. And it's very difficult in our society where social media and the different outlets, I mean, you can be Skyping with someone. If they're dressed inappropriately, that puts an image in your mind.
That's
if you're on Periscope and you're watching something that listening to a person's live feed and what they're doing is stirring up lust in you, then you have to be wise enough to disconnect. And so what I say is that we have to guard our gates. We have to be careful about what we connect to. What may be okay for one person and it doesn't affect them may not be okay for you.
That's
Paul
right.
said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And
that's
so
right.
some things you have to know what is not wise for you and be honest with yourself about it. Because a lot of times we want to feel like we can handle everything. And God may be saying, you might be able to handle this as a married person, but you can't handle it as a single person because it
gets
tapped into your vulnerability.
That's right.
And so going to certain movies, connecting with certain people on Facebook, on Twitter. I know I'm hitting somebody's pet peeve right now. And, you know, because we are in a very social world, and it's okay to be social. The gospel is being preached through those outlets. But we have to remember that as believers, we have an enemy who's always walking around seeing whom he may devour.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if we are not the stewards of what we watch, over what we listen to, over the people and the connections that we make, then we set ourselves up for failure. And is redemption. Now, there is redemption. There is forgiveness. But we don't want to keep falling down and getting back and falling down and getting it. Yes, a righteous man falls 7 times and the Lord will raise him back up. But is that the standard that you want in your life as a New Testament believer who has been equipped with the grace of God and the wisdom of God to keep yourself out of situations that may not be good for you?
That's absolutely right. I agree with you totally, Esther. So sisters, my recommendation is definitely to hide yourself in the Lord. Hide yourself so deep in God that any man that wants you has to come through God to get you. So you know he's going to have to come correct. He's not coming playing any games. And you know, brothers, you know, you stay focused on God, because one thing for sure is that he said that my sheep know my voice. And so because you know God's voice, he'll let you know for sure. If this sister that's sitting on the front row at church is really for you, the woman that God has called for you, if she's really your good thing, and if your being with her is going to cause you to obtain some favor from the Lord, as the scripture says, or if this is a person who's there to distract you and throw you off of what you know that God has called you to do. So I definitely want to say thank you to all of our callers on today. And just to touch really quickly, our health topic, our health corner for today was supposed to be about sleep. But I will say that the word got so good today. I don't know about you, Esther, but I'm still encouraged. I still feel a jolt going on. So I thank God for stepping in and just speaking to us and encouraging our callers on today. We'll definitely get to that health corner on our next visit. Esther, would you go ahead and lead us out in prayer, and then I'm going to follow up with a couple of announcements.
Sure. Father, we do thank you for this time that we've had to just commune around the table of your word and get your perspective on how we should be single and set apart. I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. I pray that your grace will be above us. We move forward in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that the words that we've spoken will be taken to heart and that we will always seek your face concerning the decisions that we make in our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Again, I thank all of our callers for listening in today. I want to let you know, if you would like to contact Campbell Ministries, you may contact us online at the bbsradio.com/Eve's Corner link. You may also write to us at P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. Or if you would like to donate, you can go online and click the donate button, also found on the BBS Radio link. Again, I thank you for joining. I appreciate every one of you. As I stated, it is an honor and a privilege to have you guys online with us, and just being concerned about, you know, the things that I want to say, or the things that I feel like God has called me to say. So again, Esther, thank you so much. If you guys want to get in touch with Esther, her information is also found on my website at the bbsradio.com/Eve's Corner site. If you look down at our featured guest, there is contact information there for Esther, a wonderful woman of God. I've known her for several years, and I just appreciate the God in her.
I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we may be in touch with you again, Esther. You've developed some fans.
Well, I'm excited, but just the very name of the program, you know, it sparks interest in the Eve's Corner. So I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you again for joining us. Our listeners, the next show is on November 21st. And the topic is going to be changed from the inside out. That should be a blessed word as well. The book for that day, our discussion is going to be on the 40-Day Soul Fast. This is a book by Dr. Cindy Trim. Thank you again so much for joining. Have a blessed day. Keep pressing. All right. Goodbye.